From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And in a moment, we're going to hear from the author of that controversial study that claims mammograms do not reduce cancer deaths.
But first, the minimum wage is going to tick up for some federal workers, thanks to the executive order signing today by President Obama, which will raise the minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $10.10 an hour for what the White House says amounts to just a few hundred thousand workers under new federal contracts. It's just a small percentage of the more than 2 million federal contractors, but a step in the direction President Obama asked Congress to take for all workers in his State of the Union message. Labor Secretary Thomas Perez has been called the president's ambassador on raising the minimum wage, showing up at local businesses to extol the virtues. In fact, he was supposed to be in Cambridge, Massachusetts today to visit the store Cambridge Naturals, but today's executive order signing keeps him in Washington. And Secretary Perez, welcome to our program.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Robin.
And let's just jump right into the debate. Federal workers' wages are paid by taxpayers. Many small businesses say they're the ones that have to carry the freight when they have to raise wages for their workers. Most Republicans, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, say raising the minimum wage would force small business, also grappling with possible higher costs from the Affordable Care Act, to lay people off, that jobs will be lost. So just take that on first.
Well, actually, it's interesting to look at the polling data. A recent study I read showed that two-thirds of small business owners support increasing the minimum wage. And the small business owners that I've spoken to, including people in Cambridge and elsewhere, have said when you pay your workers a fair wage, you retain them longer. And when you retain them longer, that makes your business that much more productive and efficient. And that's why the executive order of the president is not only the right thing to do, but it's the smart and efficient thing to do for government, because when you pay 10-10, you keep your employees. And by the way, you put more money in people's pockets, and so they spend more and they buy more things and we employ more people.
Well, Evan Soltis, the economic blogger, agrees. He writes in Bloomberg that empirical analysis finds little or no job loss. He cites people like the Princeton economist David Card and Alan Krueger. But he still disagrees with raising the minimum wage. He says that unfairly puts the burden of closing the income gap on businesses that have low-wage workers, and asks, as other people are, why not instead use tax credits, specifically expand the earned income tax credit that boosts the income of the poor without, you know, it's not welfare. It just gives them a tax break. Why not expand that tax break even more, give it to more people, do it that way so that the burden of closing the economic gap is carried by everyone, you know, Wall Street, everybody, not just the businesses that happen to have the low-paid workers.
Well, I don't think it's an either-or situation. And in fact, the president supports a proposal by Senator Rubio to expand the earned income tax credit. What studies demonstrate on the earned income tax credit is that it has a potential for actually depressing wages that employers pay. And so there is an important synergy between expanding earned income tax credit and having that wage floor that an expanded minimum wage would provide. And so it really doesn't seem right to me that we have industries in which people are working a full-time job and living in poverty. When President Roosevelt signed the Fair Labor Standards Act 75 years ago, he said that this should be a wage floor, that people should be rewarded through their hard work, and that nobody working a full-time job should have to live in poverty. So when you raise the minimum wage and you have the earned income tax credit, they work in tandem. And you know, the notion of subsidizing the fast food industry to the tune of $7 billion, which is what one study showed, or bank tellers, there's a $900 million subsidy, according to another study, that bank tellers receive because they're working and needing to survive on food stamps and other government benefits. That doesn't seem right. The people I talk to tell me repeatedly, I don't want to be on food stamps anymore. I want to be self-sufficient. You can't be self-sufficient on $7.25 an hour, and that's why Americans deserve a raise.
What about the effect of this on consumers? People who argue against raising the minimum wage also say that the extra cost will be passed on to consumers, something economists call the cost push, as you well know. Won't those minimum wage workers, who are the ones who have to consume the most, won't they actually be hit on the other end by paying more?
Well, I don't think so. And it's really interesting to look at business models across the board. I mean, let's look at the big box business model. Costco has demonstrated that you can pay your workers a decent wage and pay your shareholders a decent return and offer very competitive prices. Look at the burger market. Any one of your listeners who's been to the West Coast and been to a burger joint called In-N-Out Burger, there's 600-700 franchises across the West Coast. Best burgers around. They've always paid their workers above the minimum wage because it was the right thing to do, and they retain their employees, and they have a competitive price. You look at small business owners. I was at a Ace Hardware store recently, your quintessential small neighborhood hardware store, talking to the owner, asking her, you know, why are you paying above the minimum wage? And she said, I've retained my workers for years here, and they know what they're doing. And when customers come in and they know that the workers know what they're doing and know what they're talking about, they become loyal customers. And so, you know, we've seen time and time again that the notion that if you pay a higher wage, you have to somehow either hire less people or charge exorbitant prices, that's been debunked by the business models that exist in basically every sector. And so I think we need to move forward because Americans do need a raise, and the purchasing power of the minimum wage is really decreased as a result of inflation. It's something like 20% less than it was when President Reagan was president. And just imagine if you were working today and you were told you need to take a 20% cut from what you were making 30 years ago. Nobody would want to do that, and nobody could survive on that. And I speak to all too many people who are working hard and falling further behind, and that's not fair. And that's what the minimum wage is about. It's about making sure that we reward work and incentivize self-sufficiency and provide that basic sense of dignity for people who are working full-time. And you provide dignity by paying a fair wage.
That's Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez making the case for raising the minimum wage as today President Obama announces that it will be raised under executive order for some new federal workers. Secretary Perez, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.